Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Yadubar Prabhu. You spoke about Rasleela with very high, great authority and conviction. Thank you. He gave the perfect answer by his example, because unless one is completely humble and feel oneself completely unqualified, one has no qualification for this subject. So you taught us very nicely. Thank you. Rupa Goswami explains how Krishna consciousness is to have complete faith that Krishna will always protect us. What does it mean for Krishna to protect us? That is a very, very deep subject, because we are not this body. We are the eternal souls. And when we turn to Krishna, when we surrender to Krishna, Krishna will always respond. How Krishna responds to the love of his devotees is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya, who took the role of a devotee, taught us in a practical way how to live the Srimad Bhagavatam. We read about Dhruva and Prahlad, Pandavas. We read about the residents of Vrindavan, the gopis and gopas. Now, how to apply those principles to our life? Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Krishna came with the love of Sri Radha in his heart, and her complexion as well. He came in the role of a devotee to teach us how to actually live following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan in our very lives. At the Rath Yatra in Puri, before revealing to the world these inner secrets, he folded his palms before Jagannath and offered several prayers. Among them, Naham vipro nacha narapati napi vaisho nasudro. That I'm not a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Shudra. I'm not a brahmachari, a sannyasi, a grihastha, or vanaprastha. My aspiration, my identity, my true identity is Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Das Das Anudas. That I am the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants, my Lord, Lord of Gopis. So this is the principle, which is the basic foundation by which all true realizations of bhakti manifest. There is imaginary realizations. You see, we can understand the truth philosophically. We can know what is Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. We can know what is Jiva Tattva. What is Bhakti Tattva? What is Krishna Tattva? What is Radha Tattva? What is Rasa Tattva? What are these inner truths? But to understand any of them, our realizations have to be built on this foundation. The foundation of Gopi Bharatur Padakamaliora Das 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 Anudas. Feeling oneself the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Not feeling oneself qualified, but feeling oneself unqualified. Because when we feel ourselves unqualified, then we are able to, from the heart, call out for Krishna's grace. The personification of Krishna's grace is Sri Radha. And that grace manifests in our lives in so many ways, if we are receptive. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes he manifested himself as the Supreme Lord and sometimes as a devotee. In Navadvip, so many knew that he was Krishna. They wanted to love him and worship him as Krishna. But if anyone would say anything of that sort to him, he would block his ears with his hands and cry out very loudly, "Vishnu, Vishnu, do not contaminate my mind by saying this. No one can be Krishna. We are all his eternal servants." Sometimes if someone called him Krishna, he would jump in the Ganges River to purify himself from such an exaggeration, from such a misconception. And on rare occasions, he would sit. If you offered him the throne of Vishnu, he would not accept. But at other times, just for the purpose of fulfilling the inner desires of his most confidential, elevated devotees, at the house of Srivas, he would sit on Krishna's throne and accept abhishek, accept anakuta offerings, and give blessings, even reveal himself here on this particular wall. Behind us, we see how Lord Chaitanya revealed his form of Krishna Balaram to Kolavecha Sridhar. He revealed his form of Lord Ram to Murari Gupta. At other times, he revealed his forms of Radha Gopinath to Ramananda Rai. He revealed his forearm form of Vishnu to Jagai and Madhai, when they totally humbled themselves, feeling themselves most unqualified to take shelter. When Lord Chaitanya went to Vrindavan, it is described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he came to a village, Aritagram, and there it is a very famous place. It's a small village, tiny village. And that's where Krishna killed the demon Aristasura, who was sent by Kamsa to kill Krishna. While he was there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew, according to scripture, that Radha Kund and Shyamakund, the holiest places in all of Vrindavan, were there close to Aritagram. Because after Krishna liberated that gigantic, monstrous, demoniac bull, Aristasura, the beautiful pastime of the appearance of Radha Kund took place. Just in that spot. So Lord Chaitanya was asking all the villagers, where is Radha Kund? Where is Shyama Kund? But nobody knew anything about it. Many of them knew about Radha Kund, Shyama Kund. It is in the Puranas. It's glorified as the holiest of all holy places in the universe. But no one had a clue where it was. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that it is close to here. So although in the mood of a devotee, he manifested his omniscient quality as the Supreme Personality of Godhead to find Radha Kund and Shyama Kund for the benefit of all people for all time. And he happened to see what just looked like an ordinary paddy field. In those days, Vrindavan was mostly paddy fields. They would grow wheat, they would grow mustard, they would grow bajra, they would grow different kinds of vegetables, flowers. Even when we went there in 1971, Vrindavan, surrounding the little village of Vrindavan, was so many pasture grounds and agricultural fields. Today it's becoming very urbanized. But can we imagine what it was like 500 years ago, before the six Goswamis even came? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. So there were no major temples except the Adi Keshava temple in Mathura, Krishna's birthplace. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just saw one of the thousands and thousands and thousands of paddy fields in Brajbhumi in those days. And he looked out and saw in one paddy field there were two little ponds of water. Just water in the field. There was not much water in the ponds either, very small. And he understood, this is Shyama Kund and Radha Kund. And along with his assistant Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he took his bath. And as he offered his obeisances in ecstasy and offered prayers, now to the people who were watching, this beautiful, beautiful sannyasi with golden complexion, he has come and he's offering prayers to these two little, they were hardly even ponds of water in a field. That just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Krishna, her lake, Radha Kund, is equally dear to Krishna. Why? Because this lake of Radha Kund is so dear to Srimati Radharani. Because it is her favorite place. Because it is here that she gives the greatest pleasure to Krishna. That's why it is her favorite place. And because it is so dear to her, that is why it is so dear to Krishna. This is the nature of bhakti. It is Radharani's favorite place because it is there that she gives the greatest pleasure to Krishna. And it is most dear to Krishna because it is so dear to Srimati Radharani. And because it is so dear to Srimati Radharani, Krishna gives Radharani's love to anyone who with faith and devotion takes their bath there. He was chanting these beautiful prayers. And then he took his bath in great ecstasy. And then performing kirtan, he was dancing around Sri Radha Kund and Shama Kund. Then he and Vallabhadra Bhattacharya collected mud. To everyone, it just looked like a pond in a field, and they were collecting mud with tears pouring from their eyes in ecstasy. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put tilak in 12 places on his body with that mud and then brought it with him. That is how Radha Kund and Sham Kund were revealed to the world. From there, he went to Sumana Sarovar, also known as Kusum Sarovar, a place where Narada Muni received the body of a gopi, Naradiya Gopi, in order to understand Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. And after that, he wrote his Narada Bhakti Sutras close to Narada Kund, just close to Kusum Sarovar. That is also the place where every day around noontime Srimati Radharani would collect flowers to bring to Radha Kund to offer to Krishna. It was there that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the Kusum Sarovar, he first saw Govardhan Hill. Upon seeing Giriraj, the king of all mountains, he ran over to a large rock, and knowing that every single stone of Govardhan Hill is non-different than the very body of Krishna. Not only is it non-different than the body of Krishna, it is the body of Krishna. He embraced the stone in great love and cried and cried and cried. Then he went to the temple of Hadidev. One day, the gopis and Sri Radha were in separation from Krishna. And they started crying out, Hadidev, Hadidev, Hadidev. And Krishna appeared right on that spot near Govardhan Hill in the town of Govardhan. And he manifested his form. Later, his great-grandson, Vajranabh, in that very place where he appeared to the gopis, established the deity of Haridev. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he danced and chanted. And all the people of the area came and in great wonder to see his dancing. And they chanted along with him. While he was at Govardhan, he was thinking in his heart of hearts how he wanted to have the darshan to see and to serve Gopal. Gopal is famous today as Srinathji. So much he was yearning to see Srinathji. His Param Guru Madhavendra Puri performed such incredible, intimate, lovely leelas with Srinathji. But at the same time, Srinathji was in a temple on top of Govardhan Hill. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of a devotee, knew that Govardhan is the body of Krishna. Govardhan is Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he personally recited that wonderful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by the gopis, that of all the devotees of Krishna, Govardhan is the best. Hadidas Varya. Because he knows most intimately how to give pleasure to Krishna and Balaram. How? By serving not only Krishna Balaram, but all of their friends, the gopas, the gopis, the calves, the cows. Because Govardhan is providing wonderful lakes and streams and waterfalls of nectarine water to drink, and providing very soft grass that when the gopas or the gopis are playing, it's very pleasing to their feet. And when the cows and the calves and the bulls eat that grass, it's very soft and very sweet and very nutritious and very delicious. And that grass has a mystical quality that when the cows eat it, it transforms into the most delicious milk. And she provides caves to keep cool, and beautiful stones. All the stones are warm in the winter and cool in the summer, and they become completely soft to anyone who steps on it. And there are so many trees which are like the hairs of Govardhan in ecstasy, and they provide unlimited fruits, so many fruits. On Govardhan Hill, when Krishna and the gopas and gopis are there, all the fruits throughout the year are fully ripened. And wonderful vegetables. So this is Sri Radha and Gopi speaking. Govardhan Hill is the greatest devotees because Govardhan Hill knows how to please the Lord's devotees. As Yadubar Prabhu was explaining, to try to understand Krishna is difficult, but Krishna makes himself understandable through devotees. When devotees saw how Srila Prabhupada loved Krishna, devotees had faith in Krishna. This is even before Krishna book came out. Even before the Bhagavad Gita came out in English. The only thing we knew about the early devotees, the only thing they knew about Krishna is that Prabhupada loves him. And just by seeing Prabhupada's love for Krishna and the compassion that that love inspired toward them, they developed such faith in Krishna that they left their homes, they left all of their pleasures. They started following no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. Now in India you may think, well, so what? But in the West, there's one lecture, Srila Prabhupada said, And when people hear no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, so many no's, the demons, they will die. And he quoted one British lord, Lord Jetland. He told one of Prabhupada's godbrothers who was in London that you are asking us. He said, can you make me a Brahmin? He said, yes, you just follow these four regulative principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meeting. He said, ah, how will I live? To ask somebody in the West like that, it's almost like saying you're not allowed to drink water. You're not allowed to go to sleep. You're not allowed to eat for the rest of your life. It's just such a part of life. But devotees instantly were willing to do that. And we didn't risk their lives. And all they knew about Krishna was that Prabhupada loves. And when Prabhupada talked about Krishna, it was with so much love. So Krishna very much reveals through the devotees. And when Madhbhakta Pujabhyadika, Krishna tells that if you want to please me, please my devotees. Worship of my devotees is more endearing to me than worshiping me. And it is for this reason Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this principle of being the servant of the servant of the servant. Because it is the most effective way of serving and pleasing Radha Gopinath. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching us how to be a devotee. And he would not put his foot on a single stone of Govardhan Hill, because Govardhan Hill was none different than Krishna. So Gopal, his beloved Lord, the Lord of his Guru, the Lord of his Param Guru, one of the most important of all the forms of Krishna, manifestations of Krishna in all of creations, Gopal, Srinathji, was so close. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas on his way to Puri, when he stopped in Remuna, he told all of his devotees the story of Gopal. And Gopal's connection with Kirchor Gopinath. And as he told that story, so much of ecstasy he was in. Now in those days, people really appreciated going places because they had to walk. You see, to go from Puri to Vrindavan, now, you know, you get a bus or a car to Bhubaneswar, and then you take an airplane to Delhi, and then you drive to Vrindavan, and you think, oh, how much austerity I had to go through. But in those days, there was only one way to Vrindavan, to walk. It's probably 1,000 kilometers. So it's a very special and rare thing for Lord Chaitanya. It was the only time in his life he went. So he was so close. He was right at Govardhan. And he yearned to see Gopal. But still, in this mood of being the servant of the servant of the servant, he would not risk going by committing an offense. Now, there are different ways of looking at committing offense. One is, if I commit an offense, then I will have to suffer. That's a very low level. But there are many much lower levels, so at least we should go to that low level. But on a higher level, it's not about whether we suffer or not. It displeases Krishna when we make an offense. It's not properly expressing our love for Krishna when we make an offense. There's that story of Govinda, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and dancing and dancing in Jagannath's temple for so many hours and hours and hours with his devotees. And he wouldn't stop dancing. The kirtan went on from early morning till afternoon. And finally, Nityananda Prabhu got the kirtan leaders to stop and said, "Please, everybody's tired, everyone's hungry, please stop." So then Lord Chaitanya stopped. "Oh, okay." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to his room after taking prasad and then laid down. And after he took prasad, Govinda would always massage his legs. That was the tradition. Govinda was his personal assistant. So on this day, Lord Chaitanya was laying across the doorway, and his feet were inside. So Govinda couldn't get in. He said, "My Lord, please, if you can slightly move so I can get in, so I can massage your legs." And Lord Chaitanya, in the role of his devotee, he said, "I am too tired, I cannot move." So he was dancing all day. So Govinda didn't know what to do. He said, please, just move slightly. I'll move you slightly just so I could get in to massage your legs. I need to massage your legs." And he said, "I cannot move." A few minutes passed. He said, "My Lord, please just slightly move your legs. Just move a little. I can get in." And the Lord became abrupt. He said, "Do it or don't do it. Whatever is in your mind, I cannot move." Then he went to sleep. So what did Govinda do? He put a piece of Lord Chaitanya's outer cloth over Lord Chaitanya's body, and then he stepped over his body to go in the room and massaged his legs. How many of you would be willing to step over Lord Chaitanya's body? Hare Krishna. About a half hour later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awoke, and Govinda was still there massaging his legs. Lord Chaitanya said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I'm massaging your legs." He said, "But it is the custom that after you massage my legs, you go and you honor prasad. Have you taken prasad yet?" "You couldn't have taken prasad if you're still here." He said, "Why didn't you go to take prasad?" Govinda didn't say anything. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells us what was in his mind. He didn't say a word. He was silent when Lord Chaitanya asked him that question. But what he was thinking is, "To please you and serve you, my Lord, I'm willing to endure the reactions for unlimited offenses. But for my own purpose, I am deeply fearful of even committing the slightest tinge of an offense to anyone." So in this sense, for the service of Krishna, one doesn't mind suffering. Srila Prabhupada went on Jaladuta when he was 70 years old. 69, he turned 70 near Cochin in the Arabian Sea. All those heart attacks and seasickness. But he was willing to suffer anything to serve and please his Guru and Krishna. So you see, on the higher level of bhakti, we don't commit offenses because it's worse than suffering. It's worse than death itself to displease Krishna by offending those he loves. Krishna told Ambarish, he told Durvas Muni, after he offended Ambarish Maharaj, he said, because I'm in the heart of my devotee, if you offend my devotee, you are offending me. But I take it even more seriously. Narottam Das Thakur prays that in one wonderful song, that if one offends Krishna, one can rectify it by chanting his holy names. But if one offends Krishna's devotees, it's very difficult because of how Krishna loves his devotee. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not step on Govardhan. What a dynamic that was going on at this time. He yearned so much to see Gopal, and now he's so close. He could see the temple right on the hill. But he wouldn't go. He bathed in Manasi Ganga, and then he walked to Govindakund, and he bathed in Govindakund. And that's where the intensity of his desire to see Gopal was so strong. Because it's near a place called Anakuta Kshetra. The temple of Srinathji was just near there. Over 5,000 years ago, Krishna actually manifested a gigantic form to the Brijavasis and spoke. He said, I am Govardhan Hill. He manifested the body of Govardhan Hill. And it was there that, on Krishna's instruction, Nanda Maharaj inspired all the Brijavasis to make the Anakuta. Mountains and mountains and kuns of bhoga, and Krishna ate it all. And there was nothing there. Govardhan Hill ate it all. And then he manifested it again as Mahaprasad. And everyone really knew that this was Mahaprasad. At Govindakund, Indra, along with Surabhi, bathed Krishna. Indra, with Airavata, brought the water from the Akash Ganga, the Ganga of the heavenly worlds, to bathe Krishna. And Surabhi bathed Krishna with the milk from her own motherly love. And that famous place of Govindakund, while Lord Chaitanya was bathing there, he felt this very, very deep yearning to see Gopal. But still there was no question of stepping on the hill. But Gopal knew his heart. And here is an example of Krishna's loving reciprocation with his devotee. Gopal made a plan because he was yearning to see Lord Chaitanya as much as Lord Chaitanya was yearning to see Krishna. This is the esoteric meaning of ye yatamam prapadyante. Krishna says, as you surrender unto me, I reveal myself. Krishna reciprocates according to the nature of our love, the nature of our surrender. And this is on the level of bhava, or love. Because to the degree we yearn to see Krishna with real bhakti, Krishna yearns to see us. When we yearn to please Krishna, Krishna yearns to please us. He is bhaktavatsal. So, a wonderful pastime took place right at that moment. This devotee, a Brijbasi, he comes to the village of Anakuta Kshetra and says to the people there that an army of Turkish soldiers are coming here. They are going to attack and devastate everything. Every single person, along with the deity of Gopal, should leave this place immediately. They're coming tomorrow. So what was the first thing the villagers did? They secretly brought Gopal off the altar and secretly covered him up and took him away. And they all evacuated. There wasn't a single human being in the whole town or village of Anakuta Kshetra. And Lord Chaitanya heard the news that Gopal was being hidden in different places. They moved him around. Sometimes they hid him in bushes, sometimes in forests. And at that time, he was in a village called Gantuli. It's called Gantuli because one time, Srila Prabhupada says, it is hearsay that that's the first place Radha and Krishna met. What that means, I am only repeating. When Prabhupada says something is hearsay, it's very hearsay. You know? It's something very special, very beautiful. And while they were hiding, they tied their clothes together. So it is called Gantuli. So Gopal was in the house of one Brijabasi. And nobody knew where he was. But Lord Chaitanya found out. So he went there. And there, Srinathji had the darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the darshan of Srinathji. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna in the mood of Sri Radha's love. He spent 3 to 4 days there, continuously, dancing and singing before Srinathji. And he offered a beautiful prayer. Lord Chaitanya, in his great ecstasy, when he first saw Srinathji, he prayed, may the left hand of Gopal always protect you. It was with that left hand that he lifted the entire Govardhan Hill to protect his devotees. And with that spirit, he danced and danced and danced. This Vipralamba and Sambhog,
being so close but not able to see the Lord put the Lord in such a deep, intense feeling of separation. And then seeing Gopal was the greatest happiness.
About 4 days later, they found out there was never even any Turkish soldiers.
They weren't anywhere around. Somebody said it, but they said it with such conviction.
So they were carrying Gopal back to his home on top of the on top of Giriraj. And Lord Chaitanya, he was with Srinathji every possible moment he could. His eagerness, his devotion. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna in such a way that Krishna is pleased to see you. And that was Lord Chaitanya's mood. He wasn't just going to see Gopal. He was going to serve Gopal. He was going to offer his body, his mind, his words, his very life to Gopal. That's what it really means to have darshan. Sometimes having darshan could be a very ritualistic thing. You know, I'll see, I have seen. But actual darshan is to be seen. To present oneself to Krishna in such a way that Krishna is pleased to see us. When we are really, really happy to see Krishna in a spirit of surrender, then Krishna is pleased to see us. That is true darshan. So yes, Lord Chaitanya, he was surrendering his body, mind, his words, his life. He was offering it to Srinathji. And how did he do that? Through his prayer and through his kirtan. The whole time he was there, he was offering his prayers and he was chanting and dancing. He wasn't dancing and chanting just as some rule or regulation. He was chanting Krishna's name because he was offering his heart, he was offering his love when he was chanting. He was offering the very soul of his souls when he was dancing for the pleasure of Gopal. And he's teaching us. This is what darshan means. To come before the Lord with an eagerness to serve. And of all forms of service, to chant the holy names with great affection, humility, sincerity, is the greatest way of pleasing Krishna. It's like Srila Prabhupada. When he was sitting in Tompkins Square Park or Washington Square Park or Hippie Hill in Golden Gate Park, wherever he was in those early days, when he would see all these hippies becoming happy because they were chanting Krishna's names, that made Prabhupada most happy. When he would see people chanting, when he would see people happy chanting the names and dancing, that gave him the greatest happiness. Because it was liberating our souls, was connecting us to Radha Gopinath. So when we perform kirtan, we are doing so to please Krishna. And the more we have this consciousness, the more the holy name will reciprocate with us. And we will actually taste the nectar. And sometimes we may taste no nectar. It may taste bitter. We may not want to dance. We may not want to chant, and we just, there's so many other things we'd rather do at this moment. But that's an optimum time to give pleasure to Krishna. Because at that moment we are choosing, okay, I'm not, it's not giving me happiness, but it gives me happiness to make you happy, Krishna. Even if I'm not happy, it makes me happy to give you happiness because I'm your servant. That is love. So as they were carrying Srinathji back, Lord Chaitanya was still dancing in front of him and chanting until they came to where they climbed the hill, and then he stopped. And Gopal went to the top of the hill, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his dandavats, did the parikrama. And Kaviraj Goswami tells us that years later, when Rupa Goswami was very old, it appears that Sanatan Goswami had already disappeared from this world. Rupa Goswami so much longed to see Gopal. He had been living in Brajbhumi for so many decades. But he never saw Srinathji. Even though he knew Lord Chaitanya yearned, and he yearned. And what an important avatar of the Lord was Srinathji. The Purnavatar. He descended from the spiritual world in this form. But Rupa Goswami would not put his foot on Govardhan Hill. What was the nature of his love? He lived in Vrindavan for what, like 40 or 50 years. And Srinathji is so close, but he never went on the hill. He would do so many Govardhan parikramas. Sometimes he has a bhajan kutir at Radhakund, so close. But Gopal wanted to satisfy him in his old age. And Rupa Goswami, none of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas would go on the hill. So someone came to Anakut Kshetra and said, Turkish soldiers are coming. And please understand that it wasn't like the devotees sent somebody to do that. Because they would never, ever, ever want to disturb Gopal and have him have to come off his beautiful altar from his beautiful temple and come down the hill and be put into hiding. They would never, ever do something like that. But you see, these people who were coming were just common people who actually heard news like this. Where did they hear the news? Somehow or other, Gopal was spreading these rumors. Gopal was spreading false rumors just to please his devotees. So they brought Gopal down off the hill secretly and brought him to Mathura, where they kept him at the house of Vitaleshwar. He was the son of Sri Ballabhacharya. Ballabhacharya had two sons, Gopinath and Vitalnath. So Srinathji stayed at Vitalnath's house for 1 month. And it was very secret. But somehow or other, that secret was disclosed to Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami gathered so many of the other devotees to go to offer their hearts and their lives, in other words, to have darshan of Gopal. And they stayed there for practically the whole month, having kirtan, katas, prayers, making offerings along with Vitaleshwar.
See, in those days, the Vaishnavas, they were one family. And so many devotees went there with him. Rupa Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, and many others. Interestingly, in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was going to all the Vaishnavas to get their blessings to write this book, Lokanath Goswami told him, I will give my blessings if you will not speak my name or talk about me. Now, Lokanath Goswami was one of the most prominent people. He's the guru of Narottam Das Thakur. He was actually, of all the Goswamis, he and Bhugarbha Goswami were the first to come to Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally ordered Lokanath Goswami to go to Vrindavan before Rupa and Sanatan even came. Such a prominent devotee. There would have been chapters and chapters in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about him. But he made promise, don't talk about me. But in this particular passage that we're speaking, where he gives a list of the names of the people, of the devotees who went to see Srinathji with Rupa Goswami, Lokanath Goswami's name is there. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami put his name in. He didn't say anything about him. He just put his name there. Hare Krishna. That makes me so happy. And there they were having an utsav for 1 month. So what was actually something very, very unfavorable became something completely favorable. Then a month passed, and they found out there's no Turkish soldiers. There's not anywhere around. So they brought Gopal back onto the mountain. Some years later, Janava Devi, the consort of Lord Nityananda, she came to Vrindavan. This was after Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya had already ended their earthly pastimes and returned to their eternal abodes in the spiritual sky. After the Keturi festival of Gaur Purnima, arranged by Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, Shamananda Prabhu, Janava Devi took some of her associates to Vrindavan, a very, very historical visit. Rupa Goswami had already passed from this world. That means I'm supposed to end class. For those of you with cell phones, raise your hand if you happened somewhere in the world to have a cell phone. I'm just curious to see. Please raise your hands if you have a cell phone. Whoever didn't raise their hand probably do not understand English. But in class, when we hear a cell phone, we will interpret it as Krishna's way of telling us to end class. So one of two things, either turn your cell phones off, or if you're really tired, turn them on. So John, should I continue?
disregard the signal. When Janavadevi came to Vrindavan, Jiva Goswami and all Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, they were all there, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, to greet her. And she was told, actually Gopal Bhatta Goswami at that time was living in Sanket near Nandagram, and he came all the way to Vrindavan to meet her. And Raghava Pandit came all the way from Govardhan. Devotees were coming from all over Brajbhumi just to honor Janavadevi. And they told her about Raghunath Das Goswami. Ever since Rupa Goswami left this world, Raghunath Das Goswami was in so much separation. We know the story, how he was the personal assistant of Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was the personal assistant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Raghunath Das Goswami was directly and indirectly the witness of practically all the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in Puri. Even when Lord Chaitanya was in Gambira, which is Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami, he was getting all the Leela news from Swarup Damodar Goswami. Nobody else in creation knew. When they left, he went to Vrindavan with the idea of taking his life at Govardhan Hill. But Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they prayed to him, please stay with us and just tell us the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and make us happy. So he lived only for the pleasure of the devotees. And then Sanatan Goswami left and Rupa Goswami left. What was the nature of these love between these devotees for each other? Raghunath Das Goswami is our Prayojan Guru. That means he's teaching us the highest, most intimate levels of ecstatic love for Krishna. He's manifesting to the world more than anyone the nature of the gopis' love. It's not that when Rupa Goswami left, Raghunath Das Goswami just said, oh, he's not his body. He's an eternal soul. Hare Krishna. He was feeling such separation. He practically stopped eating or drinking anything. He became emaciated and he was always crying. Because the body is the medium by which we can express, exchange love. And that body of Rupa Goswami was a medium by which Krishna's love was manifesting in this world unlimitedly. Raghunath Das Goswami knew that Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari, the most intimate, loving maidservant of Lalita Sakhi in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. But still, on this earthly level, he was feeling deep, deep separation. This is the love of the soul. The body is a medium, but the love is between the two souls, and there's a complete awareness of that. So they told Janavadevi about Raghunath Das Goswami's condition. And she was so affected. She just came to Vrindavan. And she told the devotees, I want to go to see Raghunath Das Goswami. I must go to pacify him. They told her, he wanted so much to come and see you, but his physical health is so weak, he can't walk all this way. Then I will go to see him. The next day, she left for Govardhan.
And as she was approaching, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami ran to Raghunath Das Goswami and said, Janava Devi's coming. She's just close to Radhakund. He was sitting in a little thatched hut, bhajan kutir, and he was chanting the holy names of Krishna very slowly, very deeply, crying in tears of separation from Krishna and his devotees. And when he heard that Janava was close by, he became transcendentally blissful. And he stood up, and as fast as he could, he was walking toward Janava Devi. When Janava Devi saw Raghunath Das Goswami, how he was coming to meet her, her eyes flooded with tears. Her limbs trembled. And she went to Raghunath Das Goswami and bowed at his feet. And Narahari Chakravarti and Bhakti Ratnakar, he said, the words that they spoke to each other, Raghunath Das Goswami and Janava Devi, Ishwari, said, they were so deep, they were so sweet, they were so intimate that they cannot be spoken. So that's all I could say. Because we don't know. He said, someday they will be revealed to the world. Janava Devi, she cooked bhoga, she offered it to Krishna, and then she invited all the Brijavasis to come, and she personally served them all prasad, and she made everyone so happy. In this way, she spent a couple days at Radhakund, 2-3 days. And there's a beautiful story. One day she was sitting alone. She heard the sweetest, most heart-enchanting sound of a flute. And she looked in all four directions. Where is this beautiful ambrosial nectarine flute song coming from? But she didn't see anything. Anywhere, and she kept looking around. Then she saw on the banks of Radhakund Shamsundar, Gopinath. Gopinath standing in a beautiful threefold bending form, his complexion dark like the tamal tree, with a peacock adorning his hair. His dhoti, golden like shining lightning. He had a beautiful smile upon his face as he played his flute and he gazed upon Janava Devi. And she saw in a circle around Krishna were the gopis headed by Sri Radha, Sri Lalita, Sri Vishakha. Janava Devi fell unconscious in ecstasy. In this way, she cooked, she served all the Brijavasis and all the devotees. And then she asked Raghunath Das Goswami's permission to see Govardhan Hill. This is interesting. Janava Devi is the acharya of the whole Gaudiya Sampradaya at the time. After Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda disappeared from this world, everyone unanimously accepted she's the senior most acharya. She's Ananga Manjari, Srimati Radharani's younger sister in the spiritual world, and she's Nityananda's consort in this world. But yet, she was cooking She was cleaning, and she was serving with great motherly love. She had no children of her own, but she considered everyone her child. She was like the mother of the universe. But even in such an exalted position, before going to Govardhan Hill, she asked for blessings. This is an example. Without blessings, what will we see? If we do not have blessings, we can't penetrate material energy. Even if we go to Vrindavan, even if we go to Govardhan, even if we go to do some incredible devotional service, to actually penetrate the material covering and actually enter into the real spiritual realm, blessings are required. And it's not just getting the blessing. It's the attitude in which we seek the blessings that makes our heart receptive. Because Vrindavan is Krishna's abode forever. It's Nitya Dham. Krishna's performing his eternal pastimes in Vrindavan 24 hours a day. There's the prakata and aprakata. On the transcendental platform, Krishna's always performing his lila in Vrindavan. But premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena, we have to have divine eyes to see it. And you can't make your eyes divine. Sometimes that verse from Brahma Samhita is, you have to have the mascara of prema on your eyes. But you can't go to, Pantaloons Mall and buy prema mascara. They may sell something named prema mascara. Probably, you could probably find it somewhere in Mumbai. But you can't purchase that. It only comes by blessings. And it comes when our heart is really seeking blessings. When we feel ourselves unqualified without blessings. When we become beggars of blessings. And we're begging for the blessing to have the power to serve, to please the Vaishnavas, to please the Gurus, to please Krishna. That is the blessing we're asking for. So Janava Devi begged Raghunath Das Goswami for blessings to seek Govardhan, and he gave the blessings. And then she went to Govardhan Hill, and she performed the beautiful parikrama and had the darshan, Manasi Ganga, Govinda Kund, Hari Dev, Apsara Kund, Navala Kund, Davana, Dana Nivartana Kund, went to Punchari, Jatipuram, Uddhava Kund, Radha Kund, Shama Kund, Kusum Srovar, Sham Kutir, Gwala Pukar, all these different places. Then she returned to Vrindavan. And while in Vrindavan, she would go to the deities of the Goswamis, Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, Madan Mohan, Radha Vinod, and she would cook for them. Every day she would go through and she would cook a wonderful, wonderful feast and offer it to the deities. And then she would personally distribute it to the Goswamis, to the Brijavasis, to everyone. This was her nature. And there's that famous story where Gopinath appeared to her. She was at Gopinath's temple one day. And Gopinath, if you have been to Jaipur, you will see Gopinath's quite large size. I mean, Krishna, when he wants to be large, he could become Vishwarup, the universal form. But comparatively, Srimati Radharani was very small, not even at his waist, hardly. So she's at the darshan in Vrindavan of Radha Gopinath temple. Madhu Pandit was there, serving her so nicely, and she was assisting him. And she was thinking in her mind, didn't say a word to anyone, that Radharani is too small for Gopinath. But then she was thinking, why am I thinking like this? If Radharani wants to be this size, who am I to say she's too small? So she didn't say anything. She was kind of feeling ashamed. And after the aarti, she left. And Jiva Goswami arranged a place for her to rest. And while she was resting, Gopinath appeared in her dream and said, what you were thinking is correct. Radharani is too small for me. And then Gopinath said, Radharani, what is your opinion? And then Radharani appeared to Janavadevi, and she said, yes, I am too small for Gopinath. So please go back to Bengal and make another deity of Radharani that is bigger size. So she was given an order. That means she had to leave Vrindavan. So she left. And oh, how she cried, leaving all the Goswamis and leaving the holy land of Brajbhumi, and how all the devotees were weeping and crying that she was leaving them. And she went to Kardaha, her home. Well, first on the way, she went to Ekachakra and so many other places. And she visited Lord Nityananda's birthplace and had wonderful experiences. And I'll tell one more story because the ringings have already been resounding. As she left Ekachakra, having these historical moments of visions of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, visions of Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, her mother-in-law and father-in-law who she never saw before, visions of Nityananda Prabhu's loving pastimes and being reunited with him. But she knew she had to make this deity for Gopinath, and she had to get back to Kardaha, which is where she resided on the bank of Ganga. So as she was leaving, just a few kilometers out of Ekachakra, she saw something really strange. There was a Brahmin who was totally drunk on liquor, not Harinam. I mean, fermented liquor. He was really drunk, and he was acting like a total fool. He was like a madman. He was just making all these crazy sounds, and he was dancing. She saw Lord Nityananda. He was always drunk on the holy name, and he was making strange sounds and dancing too, but this is totally different. This man was degraded. For a Brahmin to be in this condition was such a degradation, especially in those days. These days, nobody even knows hardly who a Brahmin is.
You know, you have to kind of see the men, see if when they're bathing, whether they have threads or not. But the behavior of people is very difficult. But in those days, you could just by seeing the way a person behaved, you could understand if a person's actually a Brahmin. So this person was totally drunk and acting in such a humiliating, degrading way, and he didn't even know it. It was disgusting. That's the word. He was disgusting. So most people, if they see somebody like that, they just become disgusted. But Jahnava-devi started to cry. She had so much compassion. Why does he have to be like this? And what she did when she saw him in that state, from the heart of her heart, she prayed to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, please bestow your mercy upon this person. Help him, save him, bless him, shower your grace upon him. With tears of affection and compassion, she prayed so deeply for this man who was simply rude and disgusting. And this was exemplary. She didn't just think, I will deliver him. She prayed to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. When Srila Prabhupada was coming to America, we read in his prayers, he wasn't thinking, I will deliver these malechas and yavanas. He was praying, Krishna, Guru Maharaj, please, you deliver them. Give me your words to speak, to reach their hearts. Otherwise, there's no other way. This is the spirit of what we may call a preacher. Not that I'm better than you, that I'm just an instrument through my prayers of if Krishna, if Prabhupada choose to speak through me, only then. Only what then can they be delivered. It's not about just what I know. It's about the sincerity in which I'm praying. That's when our knowledge is empowered with grace. So she prayed to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, please deliver this man. Where anybody else would have just seen him as a disgusting, fallen idiot. She was praying with compassion. And seeing this, then she told the devotees, go and tell him to chant the names of Krishna. And because of her prayers, his heart already had become receptive. And then he started chanting. And he became sober. And then he became intoxicated in a completely different way. And he became a great, great devotee. Instantly, practically. This was Jahnava-devi's nature. Her humility, her compassion. To be great, in a spiritual sense, means to feel great compassion, to serve those people who are very small. That's what makes you great. Not just to hang out with great people. If you're actually hanging out with great people, properly, hanging out is an American way of saying associating. It's the English translation of satsang. Yes? He's so patiently sitting, thank you.
If we actually are imbibing their spirit, then that is what greatness is. To feel, to care for people even in a lamentable situation. What to speak of devotees when they are attacked by Maya and in a lamentable situation. It's easy to say they're disgusting, because literally they are. But what does that mean? You know, if you go to Bhaktivedanta Hospital, if somebody comes in with some disgusting disease, Dwarkadish could say, "You are disgusting." It's true. You're telling the truth. But he's not. But that disgust brings about a more urgent need to help, to serve, to care, to save a person from that disgusting situation. That was our qualification. When Prabhupada was asked, what was our qualification to get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and Krishna consciousness? He said, you had no qualification. I made your qualification. Because from someone in Vrindavan to come to Haight-Ashbury, San Francisco, is quite disgusting. But he saw, yes, these people are diseased. Let me give my life, my soul to heal them. That is the spirit of Janabadeva. To be the servant of the servant of the servant. Once again, my very, very dear beloved friend Shamdas Ji, who was a resident of Govardhan Hill. In fact, whenever I'm in Vrindavan, I usually spend time at his house. And the roof of his house, you could practically reach over and touch Govardhan. And it's right where Srinathji's temple is, on the top of Govardhan Hill. Just his home is, it's actually, we were speaking of Vitaleshwar. He lives in a room on the roof of the house that was once Vitaleshwar's house, the son of Balabhacharya. It's right under Srinathji's original temple. And such a friend, such a servant of the servant of the servant in everything he did. He loved to serve devotees. He served his little Srinathji Murti for many hours every day. And he spread kirtan in a very special way throughout the Western world. So he has passed away from this world. Certainly, his beloved Radharani and Srinathji have blessed him in a very, very special way, his immortal soul. But we are left behind to feel his separation. So let us pray for him. Pray for Srinathji. He was so happy to see Srinathji in our temple. And Srimati Radharani, Gopinath, Gornitai, they may bless his immortal soul with their infinite love.
And in his honor, we will perform Nam Sankirtan. Thank you very much.